This is BBC Radio 4, and now, over to Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you very much. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four exciting, highly talented and individual people who gained such prominence in their own separate worlds in the great field of comedy. Here they have come together to give of their all of their best in Just a Minute. So would you please welcome Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Linda Smith, and Chris Neal. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the beautiful, refurbished Theatre Royal in the ancient and cathedral city of Winchester. As you can hear from the warmth of their applause, they are delighted to welcome us back to do another edition here of Just a Minute. As usual, I'm going to ask our players to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we'll begin the show this week with Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and the subject is My Idea of a Perfect Day. Kit, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I guess it would have to be Doris Day. I adore her with her little gingham frocks, her throaty chuckle, her inviting blue eyes, and singing, "Oh, the Deadwood stages are riding on over the plain. Whip crack away, whip crack away, whip crack away." No, no.
It's a difficult game if you get carried away, yes. Linda, you challenge first. Yes.
It was deviation, I think. Whip crack away, wasn't it?
No, repetition.
It's a bit of both, wasn't it?
It's a bit
repetitive
of repetition.
Deviation.
You have a correct challenge, Linda. You get a point for that. You take over the subject. 45 seconds are available. My idea of a perfect day, starting now.
My idea of a perfect day is certainly not that BBC advert, perfect day, where people...
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of B.
Well, listen, Paul, yes. You got in with a correct challenge, and you have 40 seconds now. My idea of a perfect day, starting now.
Lou Reed wrote a song called Perfect Day that the BBC used.
Linda, challenge.
Beeb, deviation from the English language as we know it.
Well, there's no such place as Beeb BC, is there?
Absolutely not.
That's my pet name for it.
I know we know what you were meaning, but I don't know, when we were here some time ago... We did exactly the same thing, and I gave you the benefit of the doubt on that occasion.
Yes.
I'm going to give Linda the benefit of the doubt on this occasion.
Mr. Consistency.
Mr. Fairness. Right. Linda, 34 seconds, my idea of a perfect day, starting now.
Lou Reed, as Paul just mentioned, wrote a song called Perfect Day, which was used by one of the television channels as an advertising slogan, with many popular artists singing a small portion of the aforementioned popular entertainment.
Kid challenge.
Too popular.
There were two populars, yes.
Can't be too popular, though, can you?
It's a correct challenge. Another point to you, and 19 seconds available. My idea of a perfect day, starting now.
I was terribly fond of Sir Robin Day with his wheezy chuckle, and I also liked John Day, the 16th century publisher of church music who was so terribly good at Talis.
Just challenged.
Was that hesitation?
It was total collapse. No, I think it was. It was. Yeah.
I don't think it was, but the audience decided it was. So, Chris, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have 9 seconds. Tell us something about my idea of a perfect day, starting now.
As a rule, I can be quite lazy, but on this perfect day, I would get up very early, go out the house, go to my local Ass's milk factory, bring a couple of back gallons back.
Where do you live with an Ass's milk factory? Yeah, on the doorstep.
Southeast London.
So, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes in this... Far more likely to find the Winchester, I'd have thought, actually. There we are. Gets an extra point. On this occasion, it was Chris Neal, and he's now in the lead, equal with Linda Smith. At the end of the first round. They're both 1 point ahead of Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Paul Merton. It's terribly exciting, isn't it? Linda, will you take the next round? The subject is faith, hope, and charity. Will you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Faith, Hope and Charity sounds like a particularly lying name for a firm of solicitors. But actually, Faith, Hope and Charity are the spiritual essentials with which... out which...
Big challenge.
Sorry, it was collapse.
Yes. Yeah. We call it hesitation. Right, 47 seconds. Faith, Hope and Charity with you, kids, starting now.
I think it was St. Paul who said, "And now abideth three things." He said they were Faith, Hope and Charity. In fact, they're British winter time. People who ring you up when you're just getting into the bath and ask you which gas company you are with. And Nicholas Parsons. I can't say that any of these requires...
Well, that sort of fell apart.
It did. Yes, it did. Not surprising, putting me in with St. Paul and the gas company and everything else. But 31 seconds, Faith, Hope and Charity with you, Chris, starting now.
Faith, Hope and Charity are three gorgeous sisters who live in Nuneaton. They're still all at school, actually. One is 12, one's 13. Oh, yes.
Linda. One, yes.
I'm a fool.
Only to yourself.
Now I think I'm doing quite a few people here, actually.
22 seconds available for you, Linda, on Faith, Hope and Charity, starting now.
Faith, Hope and Charity are names quite popular with middle-class people.
Kit Chalmers.
Is it popular again? Does it go from one to the next?
Yes, you said about popular before.
Does it count?
Yeah. I think it does. I think it leaps. It's a vicious rule.
It's like a rollover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can't use the same words in the same round again.
Well,
listened, Kit. 18 seconds. Faith, Hope and Charity starting now.
I was gibbering with delight when they told me that this edition was going to come from the beautiful cathedral city of Westminster. I went to Waterloo and said, how do... Oops,
Westminster Chalmers. I think you lost quite a few friends. Chris, you challenged first, yes.
A deviation.
Of course, perhaps you were told it was originally going to be in Westminster Abbey,
yes,
and yes,
but... then they shifted to Winchester, and that's such a joy to be here instead.
So deviation as well as hesitation. Right. 10 seconds. Faith, Hope and Charity with you, Chris Neal, starting now.
Faith is particularly skilled at botany, whereas Hope is very good at home economics. Charity, on the other hand, has a gift for languages. German, French, Italian, Russian.
Chris Neal was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and has increased his lead at the end of that round over Linda Smith and Kit Hesketh Harvey. And Chris, it's also your turn to begin, and the subject is furry dice.
Furry dice? I'll talk about it if you like.
Is that furry dice, then?
That was
it's very
mind.
Strangely spelt on my card, if it is. It's, you pronounce it furry, is that right?
I do as a rule, yes.
Yes, of course. I spell, furry is spelled differently to that, anyway.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
It's spelled F-U-R-R-Y, that's what you've got in front of you.
Is it?
How do you spell it?
Well, I suppose it goes back to my childhood. We used to talk about furry dice. And we used to have some very furry dice we used to play with.
Now, how was that spelled?
I was too young to know how it was spelled. Oh. Chris?
They're the super furry animals.
It's your turn to begin, and the subject is furry dice, and there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Furry dice. I know people have them in their cars for good luck. I don't really understand this. It's a bizarre concept to me. What, I haven't passed my driving test. I can't tell the difference between the clutch and the glove compartment. I know what. I'll get 2 furry dice. That'll give me...
Right, so Paul, you challenged first. What was the challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, right. 36 seconds, furry dice with you, Paul, starting now.
I've got some furry dice at home. One of them's burnt. I call it the furry with the singe on top. It's amazing, you know, because it's one of the most extraordinary objects I've got in my house. I love to drive a Ford Cortina with these furry, if you prefer that pronunciation, dice hanging down from the windscreen. They were a symbol in the 70s, weren't they? It was a cheap way of saying I don't know who I am or what I'm doing, but I'm stupid enough to think this is an attractive thing to put in my car. And lots of people did that at the time. You remember Lord Helsham? He used to drive all the way around.
Catch your challenge.
He was Helsham, not Helmsham, wasn't he?
Which was Lord it? Are you talking about?
I'm sorry, this is a different one. I'm sorry.
Not Lord Helsham. No, he was much more famous.
So I think you've gone out of that one, actually.
I think I did, didn't you?
Yes. Very clever. I'm sure it's wrong, but you very cleverly got out of it, Paul. So I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, and 5 seconds on furry or furry dice, starting now.
The great thing to remember about these...
Kit Challenger said...
Rememberer.
Yeah, that time, I think your deviation from English as we understand
did
it...
Did I say rememberer?
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Are you amazing. Sure?
Absolutely.
Play back the tape.
Same as you said, Helen. Hellison before. Right, so Kit, I'm with you on this one. 3 seconds. Furry dice starting now.
I had to go and castrate a leopard in order to get one of these things.
Full challenge.
Yes, deviation.
Right.
You don't have to castrate a leopard to get furry dice. Halford sell them.
I was
people
all
over
long
the world.
Way away from the nearest
home. Listen, if, the world, if we are going to go on your flights of fantasy and not be challenged...
You mean people in China are going to think, oh, I want some furry dice, they go castrate a leopard?
They may think that, but the point is, if they will go with your flights of fantasy, where you go off with fictitious names, we can go off and imagine the Kit Hesketh Harvey does in his pipe.
You can't even say it. That's how rubbish it is.
It's the image of him catching a tiger and castrating it.
Leopard.
A leopard, was it? I don't know.
Don't drag the tigers into this. The dice won't match.
Kit, you had the benefit of the doubt on this one with your leopards and the castration. 1 second on furry dice starting now.
A surrealist masterpiece.
Right. So, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, speaking as a whistle, we gained that extra point. He has taken the lead over Chris Neal, just 1 point ahead. Then Paul Merton and Linda Smith, equal in third place. And Paul, your turn to begin, and the subject now is off the rails. Something which you never do in this game, but talk on the subject if you can, starting now.
I think going off the rails is quite a good philosophy in life. After all, what's the alternative? Staying on the rails, knowing where you're going to end up in some tired old depot at the end of your life. This track leads to this place. I will end up here. It seems terrible.
Kit's challenge.
Lots of end ups.
No, only one, actually. But it was correct.
Only one, but it's not repetition.
You repeated.
Thank you, Nicholas. You're quite
you
right. You're marvellous chairman. Best chairman we've ever had on this show.
He repeated it once, as far as I know. 45 seconds, correct challenge, anyway. Off the rails with you, Kit, starting now.
The people who strike me as genuinely off the rails are train spotters, particularly as nowadays the vehicles in question look like mobile Tetra Paks. It's like spotting Nissan Micras. What on earth is the point? Life is too short, people. Go out and live somewhat.
Chris Neal challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation, Chris. The subject is off the rails, starting now.
Very recently, I had a lovely long weekend in Paris. I was down in a very nice hotel, and I noticed that the new fashion in Paris is... Oh, God.
Right, Linda, you had a correct challenge. 23 seconds off the rails, starting now.
Off the rails does sound a very exciting thing to be. Young men who are off the rails are always the devil may care, James Dean type, the kind of lads who, surly and strange, hang about on the back of dodgems, attracting the local girls as they come into town with the fun fair. And what a lot of pleasure that aforementioned entertainment is.
Chris challenge.
I just want to say I agree with her.
What I do on these occasions, Chris, is I give a bonus point because everybody enjoyed the interruption, but it wasn't exactly a challenge. So as Linda was interrupted, she gets a point. And Linda, 2 seconds on off the rails starting now.
Off the rails would clearly describe both, could it?
So, Linda was speaking. Linda Smith, as this whistle went, gained an extra point. She's now in second place behind our equal leaders, Chris Neal and Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And for once, Paul Merton is trailing them a little. And, Chris, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my telephone bill. Tell us something about my telephone bill, starting now.
First thing that must be said is it's huge. Having nothing to do on a daily basis, I'm always on the phone. But also, it means that when the little letter comes through from British Telecom, I get great delight going through, reminding myself who I've had contact with over the last 3 months. I'm very precise about this, and there was one number which began 089, ditto, second letter number thing. And,
I'm sorry, he did eventually.
I know he did.
Was that too cruel?
It is a bit cruel.
No, it's not. No, I'm very happy.
I mean, you struggled out of it so well and then ummed.
No.
Oh, dear. So, Kit, 36 seconds. My telephone bill starting now.
I was contacted by British Telecom to say that your bill is on an industrial scale. This is because my children sit there contacting porn sites on the internet constantly day and night. They said, do you want to pay by internet? What a very good idea, I thought.
Paul Charles.
Repetition of internet.
Yes, that is right, yes. Paul, you got in with 24 seconds. My telephone bill starting now.
Many years ago when I was looking for somewhere to live, I went to this place in Streatham and this man was trying to convince me that living in his house would be cheap. He said, look, here's my telephone bill. And I thought...
Chris, challenge.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to challenge. I really didn't mean to challenge, actually. Well, I've got no challenge. But I feel terrible because I know Paul was about to say something funny, I'm sure. And I just...
Paul, you were interrupted. 13 seconds, my telephone bill starting now.
That only makes sense if I phone the same people as you do for the similar amount of time. He looked at me for a moment, was puzzled by this, and then he went away. Well, in fact, I killed him. And the police never found out. I used as an alibi my telephone bill.
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, and now it's an interesting situation. He's now equal in the lead with Linda Smith and Kit Hesketh-Harvey. They're all three together there, with only Chris Neil following 2 points behind. And
thanks.
He's in the lead a minute ago. He'll probably be back in the lead again.
Swings and roundabouts, I can cope.
Paul,
We're having a whip round later to send Chris to Disneyland.
No. You're here for your contribution. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
right,
that's one
Paul.
Way of putting it.
It's your turn to begin. The subject is comics. Tell us something about comics, starting now.
I was an avid reader of comics when I was younger. Saturday morning, they would come through the letterbox delivered with the newspaper. My favourite comic at the time was one called Rover, that was rather different from your usual comic because it was mainly words rather than pictures. So you would read these stories about some guy who flew planes in World War II or perhaps an individual who played in a football team, and you could get involved. You could create the images in your head rather than just look at some cartoonist work. They don't do that publication.
Linda Challenge.
That's a book.
It's a clever challenge, Linda, but he is. I mean, the Rover, I read the Rover as well. And the Modern Boy. They did have serious stories.
The Modern Boy?
Yes.
Yes, but you must remember, in Nicholas's childhood, the Modern Boy looked like Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
I think you're all terribly unkind. There was a very popular magazine called The Modern Boy.
It still sells well.
And just to prove my point, it had stories by W.E. Johns about Biggles and Co. You've heard of Biggles and Algae and Ginger?
No, not Ginger.
No.
And I've not heard of Outie either. What did he do?
Well, those Biggles books, he used to serialise them in The Modern Boy, W.E. Johns.
Oh, right.
It was about Biggles.
Ginger,
Biggles were, yes.
And
then was the other ones.
Sporty. No.
And there was the other ones about Captain Justice. Wonderful serial that was. And it's Professor Flagnasal.
Yes.
And this... They were wonderful. I will get letters about this, I hope, to prove I was right. It was a wonderful, wonderful...
Repetition.
So, Linda, your challenge was incorrect. Those stories did appear in the Rover and other similar ones. Do you read Hotspur as well?
No, I didn't, know.
No, it was very good. Right. Rover was good, though. 31 seconds, comics with you, Paul, starting now.
It's a colloquial term, a shorthand for comedians as well, I suppose. When I was about 8 years old, I first got fascinated by those practitioners of the comic arts. I would watch such shows as Sunday Night at the London Palladium, and I couldn't give a fig for the acrobats or the singers. Dancers left me cold, but as soon as somebody came on proclaiming themselves to be a funny individual, I was hooked. I loved it, and I think that's the reason why I am what I am today, which is repeating the word out 4 times.
And Linda, you challenge first.
Yes.
5 seconds. Comics starting now.
Comics. I always used to love Huckleberry.
Chris, you challenge.
A sort of a deviation.
Yes, we call that hesitation.
Oh, is that hesitation? Right, okay.
It's all right. And Chris, you have 2 seconds. Comics starting now.
The Modern Boy is my current favourite read.
Oh, I might revive an interest and they'll bring it back. Who knows? Chris Neal, you were speaking as the whistle went, and your Modern Boy took you up there.
He certainly does.
Yes. You are equal now in third place with Kit Hesketh-Harvey. You're only 1 point behind Linda, 2 points behind Paul. It's a very even contest, if it is a contest. well, no, the points are there, but, I mean, it's the fun, isn't it? Kit, it's your turn to begin. The subject is superstitions. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
There's a very good one in this lovely city of Winchester. There is Saint Swithin, whose remains were removed from the cloister to the high altar, and in doing so precipitated 40 days of rain, whether it was methane gas engendering global warming.
It was methane gas.
Yes.
That's a very
They're a great band.
It's also a very nasty medical complaint.
I know.
You've got to go and see a doctor all over the window.
Absolutely. Right, you got in with the correct challenge.
Thank you very much.
Chris. You don't thank me, it's legitimate. Superstitions is the subject, and there are 46 seconds starting now.
I am the most superstitious individual I know. I won't even crawl through a woman's legs if her tights have got a ladder in them.
Kit! Challenge.
So there was an arm in the middle of that, but it just got engulfed in the great gales of everything.
I think he was entitled to one.
I think, yes, an arm is the least of our problems in this game.
It's so spontaneous, I think it was more than he ever expected. So I think in view of the image that you created there and the picture on your face and all the rest of the team, you're entitled to keep going. Further through this lady's legs if you want to. And 37 seconds, superstitions starting now.
Once I came out the other side, I did find myself in Kabul, and because I am superstitious, I...
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, that was definitely hesitation. Paul, you have superstitions, 31 seconds, starting now.
One of the superstitions you get in the theatre is apparently unlucky to whistle backstage. There is a good reason for this, apparently.
Kate, your challenge.
I'm sorry, two apparently.
Two apparently, yes, yeah. Correct. 25 seconds, superstitions, starting now.
Cabbies believe in St. Fiacca, who is apparently...
Paul, challenge.
Can you say that on Radio 4?
I was going to add, it's what the cabbies say when you ask them to take you south of the river, but there is a St. Fiacca, apparently.
Yes, it's a Spanish phrase. And you did hesitate. 23 seconds, Paul. Superstition starting now.
To interfere with a goat in the middle of Piccadilly Circus on a moonlit night has always been considered bad luck in theatrical circles. Ralph Richardson...
Kick challenge.
Repetition of theatrical.
Theatre, yes. I said before.
Whistles in the theatre, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. 15 seconds, Paul. Superstition starting now.
I am a very superstitious man. Perhaps my greatest fear, and I don't hesitate in saying this or repeat myself, it's this. I do not like, I never will, in fact, I can't stand, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. I do not like...
Chris Charles.
Are there lots of eyes?
And likes as well.
And lights, well, yes.
Right. So, Chris, you've cleverly got in with 1 second to go. And on the subject of superstitions, starting now.
Superstitions are the way.
So, Chris, returning to your place of former triumph, you're now succeeding even better. And you're now in second place, 1 point behind Paul Merton. We're moving into the final round. And Linda, it's your turn to begin. The subject is junk mail, starting now.
Junk mail? I don't think there's any such thing as junk mail. Only unlicensed cab firms you haven't met yet. I love to think of them all as friends waiting for me. The pizza delivery companies and the...
Chris Challenge, yes.
Hesitation per pizza.
Yes, it was a sort of stumble which we call hesitation.
I have a speech impediment, but don't let it worry you.
Okay.
Chris, that is a correct challenge, because we interpret that as agitation, because she stumbled. 44 seconds available. Tell us something about junk mail starting now.
I cancelled my subscription to The Modern Boy some time ago. And so when it arrives through the post now, to me, it is junk mail. But more commonly, I think of junk mail as maybe the sort of common...
Paul, you challenge.
Well, a bit of a hesitation.
Yes, it was. 31 seconds. Junk mail with you, Paul, starting now.
Ironmonger's Weekly is perhaps one of the finest magazines to come out of Shropshire. There aren't many people today who subscribe to it, but I am, I have to say.
Kit, challenge.
Hesitation.
I call that hesitation, yes. 22 seconds, Kit. Junk mail starting now.
Up the Yangtze River from Shanghai go the junks with their mail, and because they put the con into Signia, they take the rule that you should never have a second delivery. You're not allowed two babies in China, they say. It is a mysterious and awesome sight as they...
Chris, challenge.
This isn't really a challenge. It's a sort of question. Does it matter if it doesn't make any sense?
Chris, don't start pulling on that thread. The whole show will unravel.
So, what is your challenge?
Well, no,
I was
deviation from something.
English as we understand it.
Not really.
I was trying to help you.
I understood the words. It was just the order they were putting up.
I think the words, they still made some sort of sense, and he didn't hesitate or repeat himself or actually deviate, did he? Kit is still with you, and you have 7 seconds on junk mail starting now.
Carrying their junk mail, saying, "Are words failing you? Do you no longer seem to make any friends?" Sense to your friends.
Paul, challenge just before the whistle.
There was a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation. Yeah. Paul, you have half a second on junk mail starting now.
Junk mail!
So, no more time to play just a minute, and I will give you the final situation there. Linda Smith, who's triumphed before in the past, did extremely well, as always, and came just in fourth place. Only 2 points behind Kit Hesketh-Harvey, who has also triumphed magnificently before. Chris Neal, who's only played the game once before, did amazingly well, looked as if he was going to win. He pipped to the post by Paul Merton, just 2 points ahead. So, Paul, you're the winner this week. Remains for me to say thank you to our 4 fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Linda Smith and Chris Neal. And I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score, and she's blown that whistle very elegantly and beautifully. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and also we are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. And we are very grateful to our audience here in the Theatre Royal in Winchester for cheering us on our way so magnificently and being such a warm and lovely audience. And highly charged in every sense of the word. From our audience, from our panel, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute. Goodbye.
At the same time next week, Just a Minute will be coming from Harrogate, when Graham Norton, Jenny Eclair, Tim Rice and Tony Hawks will be battling it out for Just a Minute supremacy.